As we walk this journey called life, we seek to find those things that bring joy to our existence. We want to embrace love, desire, and passion through healthy human connections. We want and need to discover meaning to the steps we take daily, the challenges of breaking barriers stir up our spirit as we prove our individual importance. The value of life is precious as we assist others to discover their way. The legacy of our being is found in the donations we make in those outside of ourselves. Success in this journey takes focus and commitment to winning. The victory is in not allowing fractured beliefs of the masses to impact the rules we have made work for ourselves. This is James T. Deshaies, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection. We come to you 7 days a week, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m., Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and Sunday at 8:30 Eastern Time. We have a platform for your voice to be heard loud and clear and unfiltered. It is time that we speak for ourselves so that others completely understand the direction we want our country to go in. No longer can we sit on the sidelines and allow others to select our direction. It is time for people of color to use the internet to make sure their voices are heard beyond a couple of streets. Our thoughts and needs and desires need to be heard around the world. And Thoughts, Love, and Reflection is that platform that you can be assured that your thoughts and feelings will be respected and heard without challenge. It is time for us to come together and make sure that we're not left behind. This is your host, James T. Deshaies, looking forward to have you call in to the show at 657-383-0309. 7 days a week, we want to be heard loud and clear.
USI never had it so good. 101.1 radio, the best R&B and hip hop music. The Quiet Storm every Friday and Saturday. Talk radio with the best host in the business. Sports talk radio every weekend night with Princess Cooper. Never had it so good radio now on 101.1, and it's 24/7, the world's best radio station.
It is my desire to create a legacy for myself and for my family. So I decided to add Larry Curry to my success team and to my circle of life. He's a part of my first string. It is his job to turn my nickels into dimes and my sweat into equity. Larry has shown me that he has the competency, integrity, and the focus to find a positive direction for my money, and consequently, that can brighten my future endeavors. So my trust in him and his financial insight has led me to introduce you to him. If you're concerned about your financial future and have not seen real growth in the seeds you have planted, I encourage you to add Larry Curry to your success team. Please contact him at 407-800-4154 so that your financial journey to success can begin.
The host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. Guys, you know, there's all sorts of things going on in the world around us, and it's important that we be a part of the discussion that handles all the different issues that impact our lives now and in the future. And it gives us an opportunity to pre-plan what our decisions will be before things happen. And certainly we hope that some of the things that are out there impacting the world will never happen to us and we'll never have to deal with it. But it's important that we have discussions related to what people should think about doing so that we impact the lives of a lot of people and help to avoid some of the pitfalls that impact people's lives. You know, this show is not a game. We have to take it very seriously that we have to give knowledge to people so that they can deal with the issues that go come across their pathways. Because sometimes people are ill-prepared to deal with some of the circumstances of life. There are people out there doing things they shouldn't be doing, and good people and good believers have to react to those things in a way that does not cause them further harm. And so we want to just talk about a few subjects today. I want to talk about a few subjects in order to just give people additional information about how they need to react to possibly some horrific information without going off the deep end. You know, we got to realize that we have to respond to life in a measured way so that we don't destroy ourselves. And so, Dee, when we talk about, you know, controlling our reactions, controlling our behaviors amongst whatever might happen, we have to think about the long term of our reaction. I sent out to everybody a story that I think is horrific, and I think that is, you know, there is no other incident of its kind that can bring as much pain, because when a person puts their trust in another person in terms of creating a relationship, the last thing you think that person will do is bring harm to the people that you love the most. And so there was a story out recently about a woman who found out that her husband, and it may not have been her husband, it may have been her boyfriend, had sexual contact with their 7-year-old. And so she decided to go to the local gas station and, while he was asleep, pour gasoline and set him on fire. Now, he is in jail. He's in the hospital waiting to go to jail, and she is already in jail. So now what happens to the 7-year-old? And so, you know, we have to be prepared and ready to make tough decisions and not allow emotions to get in the way so that we can help to bring comfort to the people who most need it. And so, Dee, we just want to talk about this situation, but we want to talk about any situation, how we have to be prepared and think in our heads about what we're going to do and how we're going to stay under control regardless of the circumstance. How are you doing this evening, Dee?
I'm doing great, James. How are you this evening?
I'm doing fine.
I'm sorry, go ahead, please.
No, I'm just saying that you have two young girls that you have to bring up and how you have to make sure that you don't allow yourself to go off on the deep end on any particular issue, because you have to be there for these girls for the long term. So you can't, you know, we can't allow ourselves the freedom of just flipping out.
Well, the truth of the matter is I only have one girl. And so including my oldest son, I have 5 boys and 1 girl. But that's okay, because you got to know. I like the way that you open up the show with the storyline and it trickled down to the subject at hand. But I have played in my mind, knowing that I got only one girl, and it's the only girl that I ever had, and how important it is to protect her innocence, and knowing wholeheartedly how deviant the world can be, how misinformed that the world is. And in your opening statement, you alluded to the fact how the majority of the population seems to be so out of touch with reality and seems to be all right with that, being out of touch. And so I have said before, since I've been to your show, that I think the persons that come on your show deserve to be qualified as the elite few, because there are so many people out of touch with reality, and they seem to just go along with the norm or with the flow of things. But to hear how the mother lost it all and just threw everything away, leaving the child now all alone in the world, except for it probably become state property or to be given to the grandmother again. I noticed in modern time, a lot of grandmothers seem to be taking care of the grandkids because the daddy locked up, or the mother may be also. And but there's a huge generation gap right there, and they can't relate to what's really going on in their world. So it's quite sensitive and quite sad that the mother didn't think things out, didn't feel that she had a support system that she could have went to help her make things right in that way.
And I want to use this situation as a catalyst, but I want to think about the broader situation where we just have people out there with road rage and all kind of other emotions, personal relationships. They don't seem to be willing to sit back and take a breather and figure out what is the best way to deal with something without putting your life into jeopardy. Certainly here in Orlando recently, we had the situation where the man came because he lost his job and killed five of his coworkers. And I'm saying killing people when we become angry isn't the answer to the problem. And so here we have a emotionally charged incident where a despicable man takes advantage of a 7-year-old child, and I can't think of a more outrageous thing that he could do to violate not only that child's trust, but that woman's trust, but to go to the deepest end of your emotions and light him a fire is not how we deal with life in a civilized environment. Audrey, what are your thoughts in terms of trying to recognize that it is important for us to stay under control in all situations?
Well, satisfying Saturday to everyone, and thank you for the question and topic today. Earlier you mentioned about making sure that we control our emotions. Well, we have to recognize that emotions are a part of who we are, and you're exactly right. How we regulate our emotions is important, but emotions is a key part of all human beings, and we do realize that females have a different or higher component as it relates to emotions. But I want us to make sure that we focus on emotional intelligence. And emotional intelligence means that, again, we identify how we regulate and utilize our emotions. But emotions are an important part of who we are in our society. For so long, people have treated emotions as a negative. You know, oh, she's so emotional, as a negative tone. But as it relates to being in control, you're exactly right in the scenario that you just shared with us about the young lady becoming so upset. She went to, you know, get gas. She just lost it for a moment, but I'm sure she was just so angry. She wanted to handle the situation immediately and right then. And, you know, we can talk about what we could do, should do, and would do in the situation. But I tell you, the human component of it, of us all, we all have a point in which we reach a breaking point. And I will hope that we will have just a second, just enough time to help us to not step over that line, that boundary, which we all have. But in this case, yeah, everybody loses, especially the child. So when it's all said and done, any scenario in which we as individuals are faced in, we just have to just push ourselves to not respond immediately as our human nature wants us to do. By nature, we are taught and we just train to immediately defend ourselves and take action. But as we grow and mature, that's when that emotional intelligence comes in and we start to strategically respond to things. It's not easy, but I think it just takes time, maturity, and actually like you're doing now through the process, thinking about what we would do. That even within itself help us to remain calm and to think. I do know myself when I'm upset about something and seem like I'm overwhelmed or something is attacking me, I could tell you I use my emotions to the point that if I cry, once I cry and get that out, then at that point I can think. And then when I start to think, I can, you know, respond better. Each of us have different techniques and how we control our emotions or how we handle situations. So we have to identify how we each individually respond and then take those steps. But in this particular case, it looked like the lady didn't recognize what her triggers were, and all she wanted to do was to get revenge.
You know, it's important, too, that we talk about the larger scope of where America is going and how America is dealing with its anger and its disappointment, because it's showing up into so many different areas of our lives. You know, we have trouble with violence in the workplace. We have trouble with domestic violence. We have trouble with road rage. We have so many instances where our emotions are getting the best of both men and women, and we do take action in a way that puts us, our own being, at risk. I know in my mind, I have a daughter, a child, and she's no longer a child. She's an adult female. And I'm always in my mind trying to determine exactly how I should respond to her call for my assistance. And especially when it comes to her and a male individual. You know, so I set limits to what it is that I will do because I have to make sure that I don't overstep my bounds and put myself at risk, put her and our future at risk. And so when the alarm sounds, we have to make sure we do the prudent thing and not the expedient thing. You know, if somebody is threatening the life of your child right there in front of you, then you have to that's a different decision to make versus the decision where you have time to contemplate your actions. So, Dee, you know, we need to talk about and continue to talk about on this show how people need to sit and really think about their decisions prior to making them so that they don't make decisions that ruin their whole existence.
You're right. And, you know, I love the definition that Ms. Audrey just gave. And the the awareness of using implementing emotional intelligence, you know, and realizing and giving the hormone of emotion a lot of credit, because emotions are very, very powerful, whether it be negative or positive. And it seems like that we are the victim, or it's easy for us to be the victim of that power. It's like an unleashed energy that's imposing on us, and we have no control of it. We don't have the reins on it, on how to deal with it. But realizing what it is and giving credit for what it is, we begin to have some kind of intelligence on how to deal with it. From my standpoint, and looking at the vast population of the world, most people seem to be all in or readily to give all in to their emotions. Wherever their emotions take them, they're all in, whether it be positive or negative. And they seem like they have no type of strategy on how to regulate these emotions. So from where I stand and in my own life, and through the help of drug rehab programs, those were the programs that helped me the most were comprehensive programs, which was a level of understanding of what you're dealing with. In that, I come to learn that we have to live life on life's terms and not my terms. When we come to understand that we have to live life on life terms, as they say, S word, going to happen. Stuff's going to happen in life. And when it does, you got to be prepared and ready to regulate and not jump over the cliff. There used to be a saying for those who really wanted to stay off drugs, if your mama dies, don't get high. You know, we used to have a cliche saying around the rooms of recovery, if such and such say something bad about me, well, they can say what they want to say about me, but I ain't going to get high behind it. Because drinking and drugging, you know, the idea behind that is to dampen the emotions, to mask the emotions. That's why people drink on a regular basis. So, yes, it's very important that we start here and we start somewhere. Because, like you say, James, our world seems to be all in on anything that comes up on a given day. And they're letting their emotions, they're taking advantage of them and swing them around like a little rag doll.
You know, and that's what the case is. And we're constantly talking about how do we go all the way down to the young people and get them to reduce the amount of violence in their lives. You know, one of the things I used to do when I used to talk to young people about the need to control their emotions and not get all caught up and too ready to fight, I would say to my kids, okay, listen, if somebody talking about your mama and what they say about your mother is true, then there's no reason to fight because what they're saying about your mother is true. But if they're talking about your mother and what they're saying is not true, why in the world would you fight them if it wasn't true? And so I would try to get them to understand whatever someone says to you, you have to control your emotions or your reaction to it so that you don't allow yourself to be flying off the handle with just anything that somebody says. You have to be able to change or control those reactions and make sure they're prudent. Now, in the initial discussion we had about this woman, being upset, sure, she was upset. This man had violated her trust, violated the bubble around her child, a 7-year-old child, but she needed to evaluate her response to that so that her whole world wasn't thrown into chaos. And she chose to let revenge or hatred rule the day. And so when we allow hatred and revenge to rule the day, we're going to behave in a way that's going to bring long-term devastation to our lives. And it does me no good to have lived my life for 57 years and not been in any trouble if tomorrow I'm going to wake up and go do something so egregious that I'm going to live the rest of my life in jail. And so we have to recognize that we can't allow ourselves the freedom or the enjoyment of going off the deep end. There have been a lot of times when I might have wanted to slap somebody, but that might have not been in my best interest. And so we have to do what is in our best interest so that we don't impact our long-term existence. Welcome to the show, Kathy. How are you doing this evening? Are you there, Kathy? So I go to you, Andre. You know, when you talk about the emotional aspect of humans, don't we have to recognize that we can't just allow ourselves the freedom to do the first thing that pops into our mind?
Yes, well, we do, and that's part of the emotional intelligence that I'm talking about. But you mentioned earlier that you, you know, when you were either coaching or mentoring or having a conversation with youth, you shared with them and you discussed a strategy. In essence, that's what you were doing. You were creating a strategy such that in that particular scenario, you're not going to fight because it's true. And then if it's not true, don't be provoked to do that. And, you know, that's the reason why I said we have to kind of continue to communicate. And it's good to ask our young people, if you were put in this situation, how do you think that you would respond? Because if you start talking about it in advance of it occurring, we may help to actually identify their actions because of the fact that that may just trigger a thought from that discussion. It may not happen exactly the way it is, but it's just like us in Florida. We hope not to have a hurricane, but, you know, when it's this time of the year, we have a hurricane plan. We go ahead and put things to the side in which we'll know that we'll need. We'll have a plan of where we'll go if something happens to our community. So that's a plan. And so, again, we have to plan how will we respond to things that anger us? How will we respond to things that provoke us? In the business world, you have to always think ahead because people are always looking at how you respond to how they ask you questions. They are looking at how you respond and handle situations. So it's very important for you to continue to think and act accordingly. Like I said, we always ask ourselves, if something was to be printed in the media, you know, about how we responded to something, is it something that we would be proud of? So that's something that will help us to, before you make that statement or before you make that action, you think about it. Use that emotional intelligence to your advantage versus not. But how we saw that and how we work toward an answer is communicating, having different forums with not only adults, but also with young people. And again, let's talk about how we should respond. Most of us on the show are believers. So in essence, every time we have an opportunity to worship, review scriptures, in essence, it's helping us, it's molding us and helping us how to respond. Not everybody have that scenario. Not everybody have that situation. So that's something that we have to do to help respond to all the different attacks that's facing us and what's really being prevalent in our society right now.
And you have to learn how to control the little things and gradually move on to the bigger things. You know, one of the things that as believers we have to count on or look to do is not to participate in things that destroy people's inner spirit. And so one of the things when I got into my 20s and I said, hey, I'm going to learn how to stop using all this profanity, you know, because I'd be around my football team, my boys, and at college, and we just talk any kind of way, you know. And so at some point, I'm not sure when it happened, I started to evaluate my level of conversation, and I wanted to change and rid myself of all that profanity. And then you go on and you look at something else you need to stop doing. You know, but slowly and surely, if you're serious about being a superior being or acting in a superior manner where you're always under control, then you need to seek to practice control before you get to the point where you need control. I never got to the point where I drank a lot because I never wanted to be anywhere where I didn't have complete control of my actions. You know, there were so many things that people have done when they were not fully aware of what they were doing, and so they had to take full responsibility for their actions despite the fact they were not completely in control. I went the other way. I wanted to be in complete control. I didn't want to blame it on alcohol or drugs or anything of that nature. I wanted to make sure that whatever decisions I made were made under the best conditions possible. And so we have to learn to train ourselves and those that we love not to give themselves an opportunity to do things that might be devastating to them. So, Dee, we're talking about the fact that life would be so much better if we had people who knew how to deal with life instead of dealing with it from a violent standpoint, with every decision being, hey, I'm going to respond to this in a powerful and egregious fashion.
And you're absolutely right, James. You know, in a perfect world and in real time, let me say in real time, pertaining to the situation about the poor 7-year-old and the egregious act that was done to her. In street justice, you can, if you were to take a poll of the general population, especially in the black community, I'm sure that they would agree with the mother's action. And then some would even take it to another step further. But I think in real time, in our time, there are a lot of instances, a lot of incidents that we can use as a model in our going forward, in our lessons going forward, in training our children and training ourselves even. There are a lot of incidents in the world on a day-to-day basis that we can use as models to say, what would you do? Or how would you handle this situation? I mean, we are bombarded with stuff happening day in and day out, day in and day out. And so, like you say, we can start with the little things on how would you handle a minor traffic stop, and then go on to the next level. How would you handle being reprimanded on your job? And you know you've done a good job. And then how would you handle being fired from your job if you thought you've been treated unfairly? So the examples are there. And we got to take advantage of them. We just can't see them as mishaps. They are lessons. They are things sent and allowed by God to happen in our lives for a reason. we as the elite persons have to understand that they are for a reason, and we have to take those examples and to start using them as a catalyst, as you say, to start teaching our children on how to do and how not to do. And I think that's a great issue. That's an important issue that we are witnessing every day. A lot of people don't know, as my mother used to say, how to do. They don't know how to act. They don't understand the definition of conduct. And so there's always seemed to be a misconduct in everyday living. And like you say, some things are not for everybody. I had to learn that some things are not for me. Some company of people is just not for me. And I have to alleviate myself from the company of certain persons. And so I'm glad to do that, and that's what's going on in my life.
And we have to realize, especially when we're raising children and we have adult children, we have to say things to them to make sure that they understand that they need to avoid putting themselves in situations where they may be handled inappropriately. You know, when you're raising a child and you're telling them, okay, you better not come back home without beating up whoever it is you got in a fight with, or you better go back up out there until you beat them the person up. You know, when you are creating a violent nature in a child, that child is going to become a violent adult. People don't learn to hit and hurt people when they are babies. They are taught that as a result of their parents introducing that kind of stuff into their lives. And so certainly you have to recognize what you're teaching your child when you tell them you better hit him back. You don't let nobody hit you, you better hit him back. You know, what that says to his psyche as he moves forward. I can remember once when I stepped out of line and I went out on an evening with someone I care about, and it turned into a bad evening, and she swung at me, and I slapped her back. I'm admit to that. When I got home and I told my mom what had happened, my mom went off on me. I mean, she made me feel so small. And to this day, I've never let that happen again. And that, because she did not award me, she gave me the right feedback that I needed to know that even if she hit me first, I should have did something to avoid hitting back. And so the hitting back is never the answer. And so as an adult, I've never found myself in that situation. You know, I'm 57 now, and I've never found myself in a situation where I've allowed my anger to get the best of me. And when I taught at the jail, there were so many people who would let their anger get the best of them over anything. Like you said, D, it could be you owe me a dollar. You know, you stepped on my shoes. People have died for such ridiculous things because they've allowed their emotions to get the best of them. Kathy, are you there yet?
I'm here, so I'm going to answer, say a couple of words, but I'm on the road, so that's why I didn't answer earlier. Hurry up, man. Okay, hi.
Hello, Kathy. I hope you're
going
somewhere nice.
Actually, I just came from a funeral.
Okay. That puts a damper on things. I'm sorry to hear that.
Well, actually, it was a celebration, so it's okay. It is
okay.
Really okay. Yes. I just heard a little bit about what you guys were talking about. Is it? Can you go say? I mean, ask me a question.
Well,
or something that maybe.
Initially, we were talking about there was an incident where a mother found out that her daughter had been violated by a long-term boyfriend, and she was 7 years old, and she decided that shooting him would be too nice, and so she went and got gasoline and poured on him and lit him afire. And we're talking about today how we can't allow our emotions to get the best of us and put us in even worse situations, because now she's in jail, he is in the hospital waiting to go to jail, and now the seven-year-old is alone with a relative. And so we can't allow ourselves the luxury of letting our emotions take over and creating more difficult situations than the ones we're looking to solve.
I probably would have did the same thing, you know, in that time. I'm serious, because in that time, when someone does something like that to your child, you know, you lose your mind. And the first thing that you want to do is harm that person. But I'm sure now she's thinking about everything that she's done, and I'm sure she's regretting it. But at that moment, yes, the rage and everything comes up, because this is your child. This is someone you love. You nurtured, and you said she was only 7 years old. Oh my God, unbelievable, you know, and you can't take that back. So her child is going to be tormented forever and ever. She's going to need therapy and everything else. So, yeah, I'm sorry, but yeah, I would have lit him up too.
And Kathy, I understood and I understand her need for revenge, but understand now that child may have to grow up without a mother, depending on what the court system or the justice system does. And so it would be, her therapy probably would be a lot better received if her mother was able to be there alongside her and not possibly locked up. But, you know, we always want your genuine opinion. And it's amazing to me that you are so real, because there are times when you allow your faith to be your leader, and at times when you are the human side of you comes out, and so we need both of those sides, yeah, in the show, in order to keep it real. Audrey, you've raised one child, and I know that your child was a very important part of your life. You know, how do we keep our love for our child where it is and not allow ourselves to go off the deep end when somebody does something wrong to that child?
We have to take it step by step, minute by minute, because Kathy is absolutely right. When it's your loved one in place, that's why I say we have to talk about scenarios ahead of time. I think that by us worshiping, the scripture helps us to make those decisions, because it is, you can make a decision in a split second that, you know, at that very moment, a human side did take the lead. But I think we try to make sure that we can think through the process. I hope we would surround ourselves around people that will help us to make sure that we you know, let justice take its place along the process, and hopefully, you know, it will prevail in that manner. But a lot of times we know that, you know, we have to be cautious of who we do surround ourselves around, because a lot of times if we surround ourselves around the wrong people, they'll be the ones that giving us the advice of, yeah, go ahead, get them. You know, and that kind of stuff like that. And you're exactly right. Until we find ourselves in the midst of that very situation of whatever it is that we could deal with, it'll determine if our particular trigger is pulled. Each of us have a breaking point. Each of us have something. Each of us carry a cross daily. So depending on what our cross is, will depend on what particular scenario will just send us to the point of the edge of the line or either crossing the line. But to answer your question, we have to just wait until we're in the midst of it and just pray that we do our very best, because as human, by nature, it is for us to protect the ones that we love.
And when you don't allow yourself that time, you seem to always make the worst decision. I know it's important that we love our children and we guide our children through this journey of life, but we also have to recognize that our love for our children can't give us the right to act out of control. I know in a lot of situations now, teachers and administrators deal with parents who are outraged about something they think took place at school. Parents go to the school and they turn it out, and they don't allow themselves the opportunity to fully hear out situations before, again, as I described it, go off the deep end. You cannot allow yourself the luxury of doing something that is going to more deeply impact your lives and will be more devastating. And that's the whole point. You want to make the kind of decisions that will not give you, complete destruction in your world. Had you left it alone, your world might have been able to recover. Dee, do you understand what I'm saying about when you're making decisions that you don't want to make things worse, that you want to mitigate the terrible things that can happen by making the best decision possible?
Yes, sir. I know exactly what you're talking about, and I understand exactly where you're coming from. And Ms. Audrey, again, has laid it down to where it makes sense, and that is that in life situations, especially when we are challenged, we have to be in a space, and we got to be in position to take it day by day, minute by minute sometimes. And to Miss Kathy's credit, this is where spiritual intervention comes in. You know, this is why our mothers, especially our mothers and our grandmothers, took us to church at a young age. Because when we are on our own in the world, and when the rubber hits the road in our life, and when the situation comes to us, we got to have some kind of foundation, even as minimum as it might be, to know that if I take my time and assess the situation, or even if I don't know how to, at least I know where to go to ask for some guidance. At least I know where to go to help me calm down for a minute. And I can even talk to somebody else to where they may be able to give me some comfort for a minute. As opposed to, like you said, James, when the school have a minor confrontation with your child or there's a misunderstanding, I got to tell you, I know way too many people that will be ready to go up to the school, jump down the receptionist's throat, all the way down up to the principal, when they could have handled things a lot differently. Again, just like our commander-in-chief at the time, at the present, have no diplomatic skills, don't have any diplomacy to where they can evaluate the situation, talk to the persons, to try to get a better understanding of what's really going on.
All right, we're going to take another break, and we're going to come back and continue our conversation. And we want to make sure that we let everyone know that we're here so that you can become better at learning what it is that we need to do to deal with these complex situations that are happening in our world right now. We cannot allow ourselves the freedom of destroying a good legacy, because in a minute, your whole legacy can be ruined by one decision. So we'll come back and continue our conversation.
Down the home ground.
is my desire to create a legacy for myself and for my family. So I decided to add Larry Curry to my success team and to my circle of life. He's a part of my first string. It is his job to turn my nickels into dimes and my sweat into equity. Larry has shown me that he has the competency, integrity, and the focus to find a positive direction for my money, and consequently, that can brighten my future endeavors. So my trust in him and his financial insight has led me to introduce you to him. If you're concerned about your financial future and have not seen real growth in the seeds you have planted, I encourage you to add Larry Curry to your success team. Please contact him at 407-800-4154 so that your financial journey to success can begin.
This is James T. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. We're on the air 7 days a week, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 o'clock West Coast Time, 8 p.m. Saturday and Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and at 5 p.m. West Coast Time. We're here so that your voice can be heard loud and clear. Dee, I just want to ask you, it's amazing to me how a long-term success can be brought down so easily with one terrible decision. And how do we help people who are out there listening to us find ways to avoid those terrible decisions and always give themselves opportunity to get away from the emotional and irrational decision to a better place?
I would have to say that we all have to allow ourselves some room to grow in life. At certain ages, typically, we are by nature somewhat reckless. By the time we reach age 25 or 26 or 28, we are in a position probably to calm down a little bit and start taking in more serious data, and we have hopefully learned the skill to try to assess things a little better. But we got to learn how to do just that, to calm down a little bit and learn to assess things a little better as opposed to giving in to the emotions. Like Ms. Kathy said now, you know, when something like that, horrific like that happens to your child, we can only hope that we are astute enough to know the proper steps that we should take and not do what we want to do in a way of street justice. So, you know, but you know, in answering to your question, what has helped me is to associate myself with like-minded people, and that is with people that have the same interests in mind that I have. Now, in my earlier life, I did just the opposite. I associated myself with persons who want to indulge in a little reckless activity, especially when it was self-inflicted, most of it. And so, but I, by the grace of God, I was able to come out of that lifestyle and have a better understanding on what I should be doing in life. And from this day on, I'm trying to exemplify that every day. And actually, I'm enjoying doing just that, to practice gratitude in life every day and to make better choices in life every day.
Kathy, are you available to us? Well, let me ask you, Andre, you brought up a son, and he has been doing some magnificent things, but how do you relate to him the need to make sure that he doesn't fall prey to one bad decision that can derail all that he's accomplished so far?
We discuss it. I'm thankful that we're able to talk. He calls me when he has a challenging day. As a matter of fact, on a couple occasions, he called me and said, "Mom, I'm about to blow up," you know, and stuff like that. So I thank God that, you know, I said earlier that we identify our triggers. And when we identify what our triggers are, then we know we take extra steps. Well, his step before he go off on anybody at work, he tried to reach out to me, or even if I'm not available, the fact that he tried to reach out to me is just enough time to help him to remove himself from the situation and think it through. Now, one thing I taught and reinforced to him over and over when he was a child and growing up, and he'll tell you to this day, I just told him, you have to think. In all situations, you think. And I just drilled that into him. I mean, he got so tired of hearing it. But as an adult, he understands it and appreciates it. Because when I was telling him as he was growing up, you have to think. It was just that. Before you act, you have to, you know, take into consideration other things and think it through and stuff. So, you know, while he called me and he'll give me whatever scenario he's facing and just having a chance to vent and talk. And of course, he have other friends. Dee was mentioning to surround yourself around, you know, the proper people and stuff as your friends and as your mentors or as people that you can really trust to balance things off of. But to answer your question, that was a long answer, but to answer your question, we constantly, you know, keep asking about scenarios, even talking about, you know, topics that's in the headline, you know, get a person perspective of it. And it, again, is part of your plan. And as you talk about it, well, what do you think about this or how would you respond to that? And, you know, be careful about this or watch out for that. All those things are key ways of putting you in a better place when that scenario or situation is presented.
And, you know, we all have to be aware or think about the kinds of things that we say or do that are going to have long-term effect on people. You know, one of the things I do when I'm at the museum parking cars, and there was a concert I can't think. Oates was the last name. It was, oh Lord, what was it? It's a famous group, and Oates is part of the name of the group. But anyway, they sang some real memorable songs. But the majority of the people who were going to the concert were white, and I wanted to say after the concert, I said, "I hope you enjoyed the concert. Have a good evening and ride home safely." And, you know, the reason I wanted to engage them in conversation was because I wanted to help avoid some of the conflict they may have when they see people of color. You know, and so I was teasing them on the way into the concert because most of them were older people. I said to them, oh, y'all going to an acid rock concert. Because I knew that they weren't going to an acid rock concert, but they would just laugh because, you know, I was kind of kidding them and ridding them a little bit. But one of the things is that we as people have to go outside of ourselves every day trying to give people a different opinion of what they may think of all Americans. And what I mean is we have to be prepared to de-escalate the violence in our communities, de-escalate the violence in our lives, and be a wholesome individual so that the world can benefit from knowing believers. And so often, there are people out there doing the devil's work and the ugly work all the time, but who is responsible for allowing the good spirits of humanity to be available to people? Kathy? Dee, what are your thoughts about that, of always being a ambassador of goodwill and of good spirit?
You know, James, I think you're absolutely right. That is supposed to be our adult job. That's our job as an adult, especially if you have been blessed enough to have lived through some things. And so when you see trying times on the horizon, and you know that the persons that are opposed to you that seem to be having an opinion of you, I go about my day every day. I in my line of work, I meet primarily white people in southern Georgia, and I am quick to let them understand that by my character and my personality, I'm quick to have them understand that the opinion that you may have of me is not me. And I enjoy doing that because, you know, it is our place in the world to be an ambassador for your people. And then in return, when we come back to this round table, we try to put together a strategy on how to have our younger generations to do the same thing. Sometimes when they have the dread hairdo, because that's what they want to wear, and they're quick to be stereotyped by other persons, if they were to go the extra mile and to let them know that your opinion of me is not who I am and this is who I really am, I think that would do our race and people a great justice in doing that.
Yeah, and that's what's important. It's important that we all know that there are some good people out there of all races, and we know that we have to put the best picture or best face forward so that we perpetuate the good inner spirit and love that all races have, so that we're not out there creating a bad environment for the evil to raise its head. How are you doing this evening, Joyce?
Hi, how you doing? I'm sorry that I'm late. I was on a long-distance call that I had to take, but I'm glad to be here this evening. Thank you.
And we're glad that you're here, Joyce. We've been talking today about how you can't allow your emotions to create bad choices, and that you have to take your time, even when people do horrific things to you, you can't look to allow your emotions and your need for revenge to take over. There's a situation that I sent out to everybody where a mother found out that her long-term boyfriend had violated her 7-year-old, and she decided to go get gasoline and pour on him while he was asleep. But now he is in the hospital waiting to go to jail, and she's already in jail, and the 7-year-old is alone or with a relative. So we cannot allow our need for revenge to always just take over and make us make decisions that are not in the long-term best interest of our lives. And so that's what we've been talking about. So what are your thoughts about allowing your emotions to just have their way with you?
Well, I saw that article, and I have mixed feeling on that, but I in a way I can understand her plight, because insanity takes place on that. And to be honest with you, regardless of what you say, her mind was already in jail. You understand what I'm saying? To for her to think that happened to her daughter, for a person that she trusts, that in a way what she did, and even before she did it, her mind was already in jail. Because
and I understand what you're saying, Joyce. That's a real horrific thing to happen, and for someone to violate your trust when you love them. But if she is given 10 to 15 years away from her child, and her child does not have the pleasure of her being there helping her go through this, and Kathy felt the same way you felt, you know, she understood this mother's feelings, but can we allow ourselves to go off on the deep end when it's going to devastate the long-term existence of ourselves and our children?
Well, that's, to me, that was not a normal situation. So therefore, she wouldn't have no pullback or no self-control. That was her reaction. That's her state of mind at the time. That's why it stated in there more than likely it was insanity that drove her to do that. You know, so in a way, her mind was already locked up probably before the action was done, because that's a devastating situation, and it's a mind blowing situation that she dealt with. So do I have mercy for the guy who did it? Is that what you're saying? He's gonna go to jail too.
No, I'm not necessarily saying having mercy for him, but have an understanding of how your life is going to be impacted. Oh, certainly he should go to jail for as long as they'll keep him in jail, but do you compound your devastation of your life for that opportunity for freedom? Because had she actually killed him, she could have been in jail for life.
But that's rational thinking, though. That's a rational thinking, what you're stating. But in her state of mind, that was not rational. That's how come it's an insanity type of thinking that she did. You know, your mind is really a delicate situation when things and trauma happen to you, and that's a devastating trauma. And to that trauma, that was her reaction.
We all bring different terms and thoughts to the table, and that's why we need you so much. Nobody used that word about trauma and insanity as much as you have, Joyce. And I guess there are situations that make people go insane and create times when they don't think about things clearly. But when we talk about how we need to practice and make sure that we don't make decisions that destroy our lives for the long term, we have to be prepared for the evil that exists in our society at this time. Andre, what do you think about what Joyce just said? Because that's something different than everything we've said so far.
No, not really. I think she articulated well, because what I said was each person will have a point in which they'll come as close to the line before they cross the line. And when you actually cross the line, that is, at that moment, you have snapped. And so I'm taking her definition of insanity is snapping for a minute. So I think we're both saying it. She just articulated it better. Because at that very moment, like I said, you did not pause. A person does not pause enough to think long term. And so when you don't think long term, it is you're responding in the moment. And sure, now that it's over, you know, she have a chance to reflect back. But in that very moment, you just, the human is just, it just, it, that rage comes up. And if you don't have that moment to pause, or you have a plan in which you say, you know, I just need to reach out to someone, or either you just step out and scream for a moment. It's all different types of ways how people release pressure for just that moment. But in all cases.
And I understand you guys are saying, but in this situation, she chose not to shoot him because she said that was too good. She drove to the store to get the gasoline and had to wait for him to go to sleep. So now we're not talking about something that happened instantly. Once she made the decision and made the plan, it took time for her to put the plan in process. You don't go down to the gas place and put 2 gallons of gas in a container in 2 or 3 seconds. It takes time for you to do that. And during that time, she still allowed her need for revenge to override her. And so I understand she was tormented, but there was time. That wasn't automatic.
That's true. She did plan, and that's the reason why in court it's a difference between that immediate response and when it's a planned out. So she did have the plan. If she thought that, you know, just shooting them was just too easy, that she wanted them to suffer and stuff like that. Well, she thought about how she wanted to do it. And like you said, she didn't think about it long term. At that point, she just was wanting to protect her child, you know, do something on behalf of her child as far as protecting her child.
And Dee, what is your thought about what Joyce brought to the table?
Well, I think they both bring great points to the table. The fact of being traumatized, and any professional good lawyer would use that actual situation of being traumatized and look for a plea of insanity. Now, but I wanna challenge persons. And you know, when you do something like you said, James, like that, and you get in your car and you drive down to the store to get the gas, and then you come back and you tweet or you telegraph your feelings and emotions to the world, to Facebook Live, if that be the case. I mean, because that's the norm. You want people to know what you was going through, and now there's a sense of premeditation. So if she had room for temporary insanity, coming back and doing that kind of throws that out the window. So, but yes, I understand. I mean, you know, my heart goes out to her. You know, and y'all remember the case where this man and woman had kidnapped this girl and had a couple of girls, I guess, and she was found 10, 15 years later still in their company. And she had been given back to her mother and all. And you will have to think that, you know, when something like that happens to a child, it changed the child's world. And that's why the mother could easily snap. I would probably snap myself, you know, robbing the child of its innocence. And where the child would maybe not be the same anymore. So, yeah, you would want to go in probably vigilante mode, right off the cuff, but you know we are trying to come up with ways to have better rationale, and I think that's the point of this discussion.
All right, we're going to take our final break and come back and have our final word. So get your final thoughts together for the show, and once we return from this break, we'll have everybody say their final word.
Help your children and don't let them fall by the side of the road and teach them to love one another. Heaven might find a place in their heart. 'Cause Jesus is love. He won't let you down. And I know He's love.
walk on through temptation, 'cause he's love and his wisdom will be our helping hand. I know the truth and his word will be our salvation. Lift up our hearts to be thankful and glad that Jesus is love. I am this woman. I am this woman that has sent the expectations of the world to take my rightful place among the stars. The woman that does not use the traditional roadmaps to a given place, but create my own destination. I am this woman that maintains her intrinsic beauty in ways not determined by others' thoughts, but by my own sense of uniqueness, my own desire of sexiness and allure. I am this woman designed by my Creator to scale the height of the unbounded, allowing my talents to be seen by the masses while inspiring those yet to dream to greatness. I am the mother of the world, deserving the respect of all that walk under the gravity of the earth, igniting the love that exists in all men while being the birthplace of the future.
I am this woman. I am this woman that ascends the expectation of the world to take my rightful place among the stars. The woman who does not use the traditional roadmaps to a given place, but creates my own destination.
I am this woman that maintains her intrinsic beauty in ways not determined by others' thoughts, but by my own sense of uniqueness, my own desire of sexiness and allure.
I am this woman designed by my Creator to scale the height of the unbounded, allowing my talents to be seen by the masses while inspiring those to dream.
I am the woman of the world, deserving the respect of all that walk under the gravity of the earth,
igniting the love that exists in all men, while being the birthplace of the future.
I am this woman.
This is James T. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, brought to you 7 days a week, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 o'clock West Coast Time, Saturdays and Sundays at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, at 5 o'clock West Coast Time. Come and hear the different issues that impact our lives now and in the future, and make sure that your voice is heard loud and clear. Dee, what is your final thought for today?
To embrace the art of communication and to react physically a lot less.
All right. And Joyce, your final thought for today?
My final thought will be that a mother would go to the stream to protect her foe. That's human nature.
And you are so right. Like you said, that was an extreme case. But the truth is that we all need to recognize the need to deal with the issues of life in the best way possible so that we do not put ourselves in situations that are going to put us in more adverse circumstances. And so it's important for us to recognize and deal with life in a way that does not cause us more trouble, and that we have a better solution to easing the pain of everyday living. Kathy, do you have a final thought for today?
No, not today, James. Thank you.
All right. Well, you take care, and our thoughts and prayers are with you. And just let us know what is, if there's anything that we can do, because we want to support those who continue to support us. I want everybody to take care and make sure that you do what is necessary to make your life special and to reward and avoid all the troubles that seem to be impacting our lives right now, today, and in the future. Take care, everybody, and I'll see you tomorrow at 8 p.m. Eastern Time.
Appeared to me that you wasn't happy, and that for sure positively.